Welcome to the CN Show, the voice of the world community. On last Wednesday, August 31st, we had Brother Thomas on the show. In my best thoughts, the show was excellent and informative. A must see and hear. Let me show you the website, and also let me show you the YouTube video. Okay, that's wrong. Let me get this together here. All right. Let me pull it up. Bear with me, folks. There it is. Okay, this is the website. As you can see, on Monday we had Akinsanya Kanban for a Conscious Corner with Professor Ron and Joe Hembrick. And tonight you can see this is our show here. This is where everybody can get in if you're interested anytime, Mondays and Wednesdays. So if you go to podcasts, and you will see the audio right here for Brother Thomas and Conscious Corner with Akinyela. That's from the 29th. So that's the older one. We don't have the one up from Monday. We will have that up soon. Okay, so now let's go to the YouTube video. And here it is right here. You see Professor Rye, see Brother Thomas and myself. So it was on the September 4th. Well, that's when I put it up, but we did the show last Wednesday. All right, let's continue here. All right, so I'm your host, Rasuke Mascani. Tonight's topic is how we address ourselves as power. Tonight's guest is Kevin G. Kevin G was referred to me by Damian McCallum, one of our previous guests that's here this evening, and I'm eager to hear this presentation. Good evening, Kevin. How are you? Can you tell us some things about yourself, and please begin your presentation?
How you doing, brother? Well, like I said, my name is Kevin Grafton, and, you know, I'm 46 years old. I'll give up my age. I'm just an average Joe that really wanted to have a conversation on how we address ourselves as Black people. You know, I've been around right after high school, went to the military. Right now I work in the electrical field, and I've just been a lot of places, so I'm able to observe a lot. And what I do observe in my going around is how our people in general address themselves. And it's very, very negative in my eyes. And even as a youngster, I used to feel a lot of times like, you know, that it wasn't a way that we really should address ourselves. And that's using the N-word. And I'll use it here just for this platform. I really don't use it at all. But I'll use it here. We all know the nigger word that goes around. And I think way too many times our people, us as older, mature people, we kind of see it. But our youth, I think a lot of us in general let it slide too often. And it's other races who look at us in a negative light. You have the 55-year-old white man that sees some youth in the store. Hey, what's up, my nigga? Hey, what's bitch, you know, doing all that type of talk that we see too many times, and we don't really check it as elders. We kind of like let it go, and it doesn't need to be a physical confrontation, but I usually address a lot of my brothers as brother. I address, you know, the women that I know as sister in conversation. So I don't use those words, but I do see with our people, even kids that, you know, as young as seventh, eighth grade, walking around calling themselves those terms. And I don't think that it's understood how much that looks negative on our people to others. I don't think that our people really understand how it really looks. And to me, I see it as a person who's been around a lot of different races, and I see how you won't see a white man walk up to another white man and say, "Hey, what's up, cracker?" Or you won't see a Chinese person walk up and say, "Hey, chink," or anything like Hispanic saying something derogatory. But our people will walk around and say, "Hey, you know, what's up, my aunt?" And I'm sure you guys see it, because me and Damien have talked about this before previously. And I know he sees it in the field that he works in. And it's a lot of times we can't really change the culture, but there's things that were said back when my dad was coming up that we don't say anymore as far as slang. And I think that that's one that's so negative, because in its origin, the word came from uneducated whites who really couldn't say Negroes or colored. They would say colors or Negroes back in the day, but they would say nigra. And then we took it as like, you know, oh, well, let's take the word and, you know, change it to something. And then people say, oh, it's a term of endearment, when in actuality, it's not. To me, it's very, very negative. Some people might not see it as such, but I think, especially with our people in the trajectory that we're going as a race, and we always say, oh, well, you know, it's one world, one color. Yeah, at the end of the day, we could say that. But in reality, you see other groups, they're really like firm on even with their principles that they instill in their children. And I think that one of the very, very bad habits that we have as African Americans is that we kind of don't address ourselves in a respectful way and think that, oh, well, other people, I'll see Hispanics nowadays even calling themselves the N-word. And I don't know if everybody sees it as big of a deal as I do, but I think that the people that's on this panel right now, I think that we all could come to an agreement that it's much bigger than just a word at this point. Because if you're on a job, I've been on jobs working with different crews, and I was just in Seattle. I work for Wesco. It's a electrical company. They do lighting and all that type of stuff. But we were in Seattle for 2 weeks, and there was a younger brother. He's about 28 or whatever. And he's using the word, talking to a white guy. And I'm like, come on, man. You know, this is it's like a culture. I was talking to Mr. Moore earlier about it. And it's a negative cultural thing that we have to kind of start to really unravel, because how I see it as a Black man who's just really, I didn't go to college or anything, I'm more of a trade type of guy, is how I see it going as far as our trajectory that our people are going in. It's not going up. I don't see it going up in how we address ourselves, the over-sexualization of everything. That's another topic, but mainly how we address ourselves, because most young Blacks, you hear the N-word, you hear the women using the B-word. And I think a lot of times it does start at home, because you might hear mom on the phone, she's talking to her friend. And, you know, it's on the adults as well, but obviously we see it's not going to change there. So I think that us as individual Black men, we should just, if we see, hey, you know, young brother, why can't we call ourselves? And they're going to say, oh, OG, you know, don't do that. That's what happens to me plenty of times. And I think we still have to push more to try to change that outlook, because everyone's looking at us as that, where if we took everybody and said, okay, this is a totem pole, and we're going to be honest with ourselves, we're the feet of the totem pole. If we're going to be honest in our heart of hearts, and I'm honest as a Black man, I'm as honest as I could be on this. We're the feet of the totem. We might have different factions of our group that are doing well but we don't look at it as that, you know, we're a team and we're a team that's here to win. Everybody else playing this sport and they're there to win. So they don't address themselves negatively and you starting off from the gate where that's wrong. So like I said, I don't know how anybody else, I don't want to go on too long because I wanted this to be more of a dialogue and I'm completely freestyling this right now. And that's the great thing about it, because this was a topic that I really wanted to discuss and I could discuss it with my wife and other people, but it's not the same as getting together with a group of people who are actually willing to, because a lot of people that I talk to about it, they'll say, oh, well, you know, it's just something that I use, brother. You know, I'm not going to change. I mean, it just, it is what it is. And they're, you know, we're in our mid 40s, some people 50s, 60s, and they're still using the same type of thing. I kind of feel that way with the gang culture, where I'll see people like, you're damn near 50 years old and you're spelling, you can't spell B-A-C-K because you don't want to say that, you know, you're killing a cripple. It's just our culture is so backwards with a lot of things on self-dignity, even how we take care of ourselves physically. Like, that's another thing that I do. I try to get a lot of youth to learn martial arts and things of that nature, because I'm heavily into boxing, heavily into physical fitness, taking care of myself. And I think that's another topic for another show where we need to start improving in. But the main one right now is addressing ourselves. So I'm going to kind of shut it down right now and get some feedback from you guys and see, you know, if there's anything that you guys want to ask me, or, you know, if there's something that you want to interject and speak on the topic as well.
Okay, excellent, man. I appreciate that. I want to start with Brother Wazir Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
And thanks for coming, Brother Muhammad.
You're welcome.
I want to get your take on it, and also if you have a question for Kevin.
Okay, Kevin, I'm 75, almost 76. And when I was a youngster back in the 60s, I named myself Nigga, N-I-G-G-A. And I put it on my school transcripts. I still have a copy of it to let people know that I never did think it was a bad word. Now, for me, I came into a very real revelation when Tupac gave us the acronym N-I-G-G-A, Never Ignorant, Getting Goals Accomplished. So for me, I don't see it as a negative word. I see it as a word that we have chosen to express our camaraderie. And if other people think it's a negative word, that's their thought, and they have the right to their thought, but I don't have to adopt it.
Right. Right. I understand that. I get that perspective. I never got it really like that. So I see how you're saying it. And I agree with it, but where I disagree is that, okay, we see the problems that we're having right now. And we see that, like, people aren't walking around and using the acronym, and they don't even know that acronym. So for the most part, they're using it in a way to where it, I never really look at, like, as a adult myself now. When I was younger, I used to say it, I'll admit it. I used to say it when I was younger. But then as I became an adult and I'm working with, like I said, I've worked, usually I'm the only brother that's at the company that I'm at. And I mean, I'm not on video, but I have a Black Power fist tattooed on me, an Ankh. I have all type of stuff. I have my roots with Africa tatted on me. I'm really just one of those brothers. And I never think that it's used how it's used now. Maybe back then it might have been more powerful and more of a uplifting thing for people to use. But now how it's used as a very gutter term. You know, you'll see kids that are eighth grade, what's up, my nigga? They in the store. You see the women, you know, hey, bitch, bitch, this, bitch, that. It's how it is now. Maybe in the past, maybe how us as mature people, we might see it different because we're able to look at things through a different spectrum. But if I'm seeing the person that, you know, they check our Facebooks and everything when we go for these jobs, and we have to learn as Black people, we don't really own a lot of the companies. So we have to get a foothold into positions where we can be in a position to, you know, bring ourselves on.
Well, you see,
but if we're sitting there, go ahead.
Yeah. If how I refer to you or refer to my friend or refer to my associates in a intra-cultural way is going to keep me from getting a job, I'm not sure I want that job. I want to have the freedom to be who I am without causing detriment to anybody else. So if you call me, like the brother who was at the, I think it was the writer's dinner in Washington, D.C., when he said to President Obama, "Yo, Barry, you did it, my nigga." And President Obama stood up and embraced the man because it was understood by the way he said it, he wasn't speaking in a negative way. Now, there was a room full of Caucasians, but that communication bonded those two men together because each one knew that they were speaking an intra-group term that expressed love and affection for one another. So I don't quite understand why I have to worry about getting hired because I called my brother a nigga. If he understood that it means never ignorant, getting our goals accomplished.
And that's what I'm saying, brother. That's what I'm saying. People don't look at it that way. When you're in a position where it's President Obama and they're at a gala type dinner, they're not cutting the checks for the person who needs to. If we're going to build commerce and build it, like I remember I was looking at something. We don't own any hospitals, no schools, no anything as far as Black people. You could go and drive and you'll see all these centers of commerce for other races. But then you see us, we can't even get our foot in the door because it's okay to address, like I said, sometimes we've addressed ourselves with our buddies. It's easy for me to say brother. It's easy for me to say sister. That's more empowering to me than using the acronym for NIGGA. And if we're going to be more people who are becoming more professional and grow as people, yeah, we could have somebody say to Obama, "Hey, you know, what's up, my nigga?" You know, I might say it to him when it's just me and him, but what I'm talking about is all the other, let's say that I'm a white CEO of a company, and the only time that I really see some Black people, it just happens to be where I'm in this position. Oh, hey, what's up, my nigga? And then I get this whole picture painted of them. And like I said, I've been in the military where it's been white dudes who never seen me before. And I vibe with those people because at the end of the day, I'm just a strong brother. So they know that, you know, I am who I am. So I still get hired onto the company and I'm still being myself. I haven't had to change being myself to get, and I'm really like a Black power brother. That's why I won't even use the word because I know that the terms and the condensation that it carries now, the weight that it carries now, not in the past, not when I'm with my buddies. I'm talking about if we're out there all as brothers and we're trying to present ourselves a certain way, me personally, I think that we have to stop with the nigga and the bitch. And we're leaving off the bitch. I'm talking about the women too, because the women call each other the B word, nay, bitch, this, bitch, that. And I think that how we address ourselves, it really do have power. Because okay, nobody knows the acronym.
Let me interject on this. First of all, do you know an acronym for bitch?
No, I don't. I don't know. I really didn't know the one for nigga.
But I'm trying to make a point to you, okay? So there is an acronym for a positive meaning of N-I-G-G-A. And that's what I'm speaking on. I'm not speaking on B-I-T-C-H. They are not the same word. Okay. They're completely different. And when I first got into law school, I got the highest grade in the class. I was a bad nigga. You understand? And nobody felt like, oh, well, kick him out of class. Because they were looking at my performance, not at a word. A word is not a thing. If you are going to adopt a word and let it define who you are without looking at your behavior, I think you missed the point of the word. You can call me anything. Right, okay. You can call me a black motherfucker. I really don't care because I am measured by my performance, not by the words that are used to describe me.
Right. I understand you, brother. Can I interject a little bit, not to cut you off, but I understand what you're saying. But we're missing kind of the point of what I'm saying, how you carry yourself, how I carry myself. I'm a bad nigga too. What I'm saying is how the people, their behavior is like we use a term nowadays called nigga shit. You're our elder. So I'm in my mid 40s. So we use a term called nigga shit. And everybody knows that nigga shit is like gutter stuff. It's not the dude like you that's in law school doing his thing. It's not President Obama. Yeah, I know, but I'm saying back when you were, it's not you. It's not me who's been able to kind of break down barriers and stuff. When I first got into the military, I'll never forget my squadron commander, Sergeant Guthin, when I first get to my duty station. He says, "Kevin, I'm gonna pair you with John. He's from Compton. You guys should be able to relate." It was so, I'm 46, and I remember this. I was a 19-year-old puppy when this was said to me. I didn't get all bent out of shape. I didn't nothing, but it was still like, you know, I'm in the military. Now as a grown man, it's like, dang, he was kind of like, you know, kind of saying something, but not saying something. So I know I've experienced all that, not from my perspective in life, where the word is taking us now. It's something that we should be easily able to be do away with and use a better term of endearment. That if we gotta say, okay, we gotta change up the way that we speak so we could get more respect as black people and so we could stop being the dirty feet with no shoes on the bottom of the totem pole, even though some of us are doing fine. But the people that I'm speaking about, their behavior matches the words that they speak on. And if it has a positive acronym, fine. The origin of it, it didn't have anything positive to do. It was really white people who couldn't say Negro. So they would say nigra. And then we started saying nigga. But my grandfather told me that, you know, they used to, only time they would really say it was when they were mad at somebody. So maybe it's a different upbringing, but I think overall, nowadays, not as I'm still a person who I hope I can make it to your age, brother. You know, God willing, everything. If I keep doing what I'm doing, I think I'll be all right. I always like to give positive affirmations. And at the same time, back to the word, how we address ourselves, it does mean something now. It means something for the people who we're getting. The Hispanics are coming in and really circumventing us and pushing us out. We're getting pushed out. So we have to do more things that show ourselves in a positive light. And if it's something that's small, it's saying, "What's up, my brother?" Instead of saying, "President Obama, my nigga," it could be, "President Dan, my brother, you know, good to see you up there." I don't see what's so hard about it, even though you're saying that, you know, it's not too big of a deal. How I see it, and the people's behavior behind it who use the word, because most people that I know, that they don't really use the word. We address ourselves as brother, like, you know, sometime when it's kickbacks or whatever, they might say, "Oh, that nigga did blah, blah, blah," or whatever. But we don't use it to address ourselves. We say, "What's up, brother?" Because, you know, like I tell my daughters, you never know who's watching you. You never know who's watching you. So representation, even if it means how we speak to each other as an elder, it might be a little bit different. But for the people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, it's not a word that I think that we have to like really hold on to, like it's so important. Because in the 70s, my dad said they used to call each other, hey, blood, you know, young blood or whatever. We don't say that no more. So how come with this word, we can't say, you know, what's up, brother? What's up, sister?
I can tell you exactly why.
Okay. So that, for the sake of time, people, I want to get other people's comments questions. So we're gonna move to the next person. Let's go to Damian McCallman. Question or comment?
Good show. No, I think my thought is I didn't use the word growing up. Kevin could probably attest to that. Just wasn't something that I was. I heard it a lot, but I think it was a weird thing where my mom would say it, but she taught me what the meaning was. So she told me, you know, this is the meaning, blah blah blah. Don't say it. I went to school in the Valley, San Fernando Valley, with nothing but white people. So, you know, I'm not going to say it. I didn't hear it. If I heard it, it was negative. So I never used it. Hearing that Tupac came up with an acronym for it is hilarious. And I say it's hilarious because that would almost mean that in every song that he used the word, he was doing the positive affirmation. And we know that that's not true. You know, you can have a positive affirmation, but if you can flip it, something's wrong. And like you said, I work with a lot of youth. If one of them came up to me and said, hey, what's up, my Nick? I'm going to say, yo, that's not how you address me. Sorry, can't do that. If I see Professor Raw on the street, I'm not going to walk up to him and say, hey, my Nick, just not going to happen. I have too much respect for him. And I think if I saw Obama, I definitely wouldn't say it just because of, you know, who I am and who he is. But I wouldn't say it to any man. So it's that just it's a word that I just don't use. And like you said, I hear Hispanics using it to each other. I was at the school Friday and there was like a group of five Hispanics and they were just saying it back and forth. So I was like, wow, that's crazy, right? So they took the word and said, hey, we can be that cool, quote unquote, cool too. I'm on the side of not using it. I'm trying to think of the acronym again, never ignorant.
Getting goals accomplished.
Never ignorant, getting goals accomplished. You know, like this is not a Tupac show. But we could look at his life and say, were you ever ignorant, my man? And in the face of people, yes. So the term doesn't necessarily apply. You know what I mean? And that's just how I see stuff. So, like you said, I wish I could use the term, not the term, but the acronym. I mean, I can use the acronym, but I just won't use the word, right? Because we always never want to be ignorant. And I would that transcript would be hilarious that you sent out. But if I saw that on a paper from a student that I'm working with, and he put that as his name, in me, something in me would want to correct that. I would ask, did your mama name you that? If she did, whatever. If she did not, let's think twice about this, because that's what you're putting out. And they're going to receive it. Whoever receives that paper is going to receive it as they receive it. So I'm on the side of don't use it. Education is powerful in the word. Because if we know, then it sort of it can help us out. I saw a video recently of Ice Cube talking about, you know, it's our word now. And he was talking to John Stewart, I believe. So it was like he took ownership of the word and said, this is our word. Y'all had it, it's ours. And it's like, why? I don't want it. But, you know, it's, I guess it's to each his own, but it's like, why? You know what I mean? Why? I'm pretty sure every rapper that we hear using it, they're not thinking of the acronym. When they hear it, when we see it in movies, they're not thinking of the acronym. So it doesn't mean that to them. And I think that's the issue.
So, moderator, may I make a comment?
Yes, sir.
I'm done.
Thank you. I moved to Ghana. I moved to Ghana. I built a home there. I lived there. And the young folks, when they found out I was from the United States, specifically from Compton, they were cheering me because I was a real nigga. Now, you're laughing, but I'm telling you my experience.
I believe you.
They didn't find me an ugly man. They didn't find me a negative man. They found me a beautiful man because I was a real nigga.
What? So if I can ask, what did that mean for them?
It meant for them that look at this American black who came back to Africa and now is building this country with us and for us. That's what it meant to them.
So do they call themselves that?
Some of them, yes. So. But they don't qualify because they don't know how to be one.
Huh?
Did you check it? No. I explained to them, for example, if they start lowering their pants, I say, you know, that's what they do in jail when they're trying to give up some booty. That ain't what we do.
Right.
Okay, let's move right along. Okay, so we're going to go to Brother Mashinda. Brother Mashinda? Are you there? Well, we will come back to Brother Mashinda.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. So, question, comment, Brother Mashinda?
Well, you know, yeah, I do. I respect anybody's perspective, you know, their choice of words, you know, what they want to say and what they don't want to say. I can think of a whole lot of other things that are far more important to me than the word nigga. I've used the word part of my cultural upbringing, you know, just part of what I've used. Now, I do believe that there's a such thing as context. There's a such thing of timeliness and appropriateness, you know, depending on, you know, the situation, you know, that type of thing. But those that have never really experienced that or don't understand that's just, you know, I'm not saying it's a good or bad situation. It is what it is. But I, you know, the brothers that have spoken, the guest, I know, I don't know if you ever heard of like Michael Eric Dyson. He's done he's a university professor, but a lot of people have heard of him. Just one guy that I can think of who actually pretty much did a dissertation on the word nigga, you know, as a term of endearment. I understand what he's talking about, you know, based on my research with understanding what he's saying, you know. I beg to differ on as far as other races go, because other races do have their own, words that they use within their own culture. I've been around many cultures, many different types of races. If you look, you know, Italians, they'll call each other whatever the word wops or spics. You know, you hear them referring to each other. Oh, he was this, he was that, you know. So that's not true, you know, that other races actually do have their own cultural, words and their little codes within their own culture. So that's something I've experienced myself firsthand to see that go down. And another thing too, I know for myself, you know, I know the white man doesn't define, you know, what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it, you know. That's just don't come into my psyche. I mean, if I'm trying to get a job, of course I'm gonna prepare myself for this job. You know, I'm gonna I'm going to give it the best that I can to get a job or create a business or generate business and that type of thing. But I'm, you know, he's not going to dictate, you know, what goes on in my cultural world. I think I refer, like one of the other brothers that went to law school, I think he was referring to that. You know, he's not going to dictate what goes on in my household or around my friends, things like that. Now, if the message here tonight is, you know, hey, let's, you know, educate the children and try to lead them in positive directions, I agree with that 100%. I've been doing it for years. And so I get that, you know, that's my everyday goal is to try to help people, educate youngsters in particular and adults as well, and try to get them on the path to learn a trade like yourself. But I can't sit here and say that, you know, the European is going to define, you know, what goes on in cultural circles. Now, if that's your personal preference not to use it. Now, I think you made a comment about, you said that the word wasn't used by white people. They were saying nigger. That's untrue. White people have used nigger. They've used the word nigger, you know? So I don't know where that, I mean, well, I can't say you spoke where you got it from, but that's not true. White people use the word nigger to this. I'm in the South down here right now, and they use the word nigger, you know, so that's that, and they use it in a derogatory manner, you know. So again, I just wanted to throw that out here. I'm not, you know, hey, I respect your perspective, and I'm going to just sit back and continue to listen. Thank you for sharing today.
All right. I want to go to Brother Kwabena. He's here, and he did a couple of shows with us, and he has a campaign going against these.
Can I?
The rug.
Excuse, moderator, can I chime in? Just one thing. I want to just put this out for everybody. What I'm speaking on the word, I'm not talking about how we chit-chat with our buddies or anything. I'm talking about how the future for the kids. And if anybody on here could honestly say that when they hear it out there with the kids and with everybody else, that it's positive, that's my topic. I'm thinking about what's positive and what's negative for us as Black people moving forward. And I'm going to stand on that it's negative for us where the term is now. And where I got the nigger term from was from somebody in the South. I knew that they called us niggers in the South, but a lot of times it was white people who were trying to properly say Negro. They were saying nigger. And it wasn't that, oh, white people didn't use it before. And I never said that in general, that white people didn't use negative terms to describe themselves. But you're not going to say, hear no white person come up and say, yo, Joe Biden, what's up, my cracker? We're not going to hear that. So, you know, we could go on to the next person. I just think that with what I see now, as far as us going into the future and working with youth and boxing and things like that, it's not at all a positive term. Nobody knows the acronym. Nobody else sees it as positive. And we do have to start looking at how others see. I don't really care who sees me. Like I said, I got Black power tatted on me, everything. I don't care what the white man sees, because my skills and my abilities to do what I have to do, it's going to outshine that. But it might not, the next man might not get that chance, because he might not have the same background as me. If he coming in with an attitude that I'm just a nigga, blah, 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 you know, it's not positive. That's all I'm saying, brothers. It's not positive with the future. We're all older. You guys are more elder than I am, for the most part, and for the youth, is not any way in a positive term. And when we have Ice Cube and all those people, they're older than I am, so they might could say, oh yeah, you know, we took the word or whatever. But that's all I wanted to say, because I want to, in my back, I grew up using the word. I grew up in Carson and Centerview. I was around all Pyrus and all that, and I moved to Orange County after that, so I've seen both sides of the fence, you know, so I'm very multicultural as far as the people I've been around. And I've seen everything being in the military. So, you know, I just wanted to interject that, and we could go on, because I don't want us to think that it seems like that a few of the comments have been that we're talking about the past. I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about the future with our young Black youth. I don't care about the Hispanic youth. I don't care about none of that. I'm talking about the young Black youth. And if we could see that word, it's going to still get Black people. We don't own nothing. So we do need the white people sometime to get our foot in the door where we could learn what's going on, and then we could branch out and pull our own people on. I worked for an X-ray company back in 2007, the first time they ever hired a Black person. I didn't go in there like, oh, I'm this nigga. They never hired Black people until they hired my butt. When they hired me, they hired another brother. And we didn't come in there like, you know, letting them know our personal things. We wasn't using the word and stuff in a professional environment. So I'm not caring about what we do playing cards or on the side or at the park, chilling, doing all that. I'm talking about what we do as far as we present ourselves. And that's why I like the title, the how we address ourselves as power, because nobody is saying the nigga is coming in and he's the most powerful person. Like, they kind of looking at us like a joke, to be honest. And that's my perspective, is being a person who, in my young life, I might not have as much experience as other people, haven't went to law school, haven't done all that type of stuff, but just seeing in the observation through the lens that I see, I don't see it as that is positive. And that's the thing, but I don't want us to go down the road of thinking that we're talking about the past. I'm talking about the future, and I'm talking about the youth and how we address ourselves is power in that context, not the context of if I'm you and I are talking, or me and the other brothers are talking, and somebody just freelancing and we just saying, hey, my nigga, or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how we present ourselves in public. So I just wanted to get that line drawn so we don't think that we're talking about the behind closed doors and all that type of stuff. I don't really care about that. I'm talking about how we address ourselves. We can make a conscious effort, I think, to say brother or sister. That's all I'm really saying right here.
Okay, Neely Fuller Jr. says that he has a term called VGQ, acronym, Victims Guarantee mm-hmm. Qualification. So he said everybody should be listened to he's saying we're victims of white supremacy racism. And I agree with
right.
him. And he right. said that everybody's qualified to say what they got to say. It's a victims guarantee qualification. And everybody should listen. And that's what we're doing. We're listening, and you say what you say, and we're going to move on. So, Brother Kwabena, can you unmute if you mute it?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, you got the... It's not clear, Brother Kwabena. I can hear you. So hopefully it don't go in and out, because I kind of heard the in and out sound. So, Brother Kwabena? Okay, so we look like we're going to have little issues with Kwabena's audio. So let's go to Brother Hembrick. We come back to Kwabena. Brother Hembrick?
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Brother G, and your presentation and what you're trying to get across. I'm a longtime educator, so I know what you're talking about. And I see what the other brother was talking about also. I think if you're in the fight, and I know you've been military, I don't know if you've been in any combat before, but, you know, we're at war, and whatever you're doing to the war effort, I really don't care how you address yourself. That's just my opinion. If you're involved in the war. Now, if you just stand on the corner drinking 40, smoking blunts and talking that stuff, then I hear what you're saying. I think you're, you know, when you got to talking about how others view us, it brought me to this theory I used to learn when I was a sociology major. It was called a looking glass self. And I'm not saying that you're totally, you know, in this, but the theory says that you're concerned with how others view you, and that's how you view yourself. That's what the that's what the theory is. But anyway, then I heard what you said, you know, about back in the day. You say, hey, young blood, what's up and all that. Well, today, we all know that that could get you shot.
So you're right.
Wrong area. As far as the Latinos go, they have followed us in everything we've done. Everything we do, they trail up behind us and follow us, whether it's protests or what have you, you know, boycotting and even using that word, you know, from the rap game. It's a tough thing. You know, I was kind of raised around white folks up through the seventh grade. And I used to hear, you know, rarely we heard it. And even today, if I hear a white person say it next to me, then I'm going to catch a case because I'm damn sure getting in his behind, so to speak. I remember I had an old coach of mine, and he used to hear me say that word. He was my track coach, and he would get highly upset. He was one of the original Tuskegee Airmen. And he heard me say that, and he, like, Joe, you need to get another word. And he was a boxer also. So I'm hearing both sides, and, you know, I appreciate the subject. But the bottom line for me is, you know, what you're doing in the struggle, you know, irregardless of what you're calling yourself. And that's my measuring stick for when I evaluate, you know, when I don't really judge people, but seeing if they for real or not. Because let me see, if you could have somebody that's using a word and they really down doing a whole lot of things for the struggle, and then a person that never used the word and they ain't doing nothing, you know, how do you weigh that? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, yeah. Appreciate the topic, and I'm going to be quiet right now and go back to listening.
All right. Brother Quab and I, are you able to? Let's see how you sounded now.
Okay, y'all sounding good to me.
GPS signal lost.
Okay.
Brother Quavina? We can't hear you.
How about now?
That's good. Quavina? Now we can't hear you. All right, we're gonna try in a little bit, Quab. Now let's go to Professor Rob.
Bonnie County, everybody. I just wanted to say I appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. And it's a very unique discussion, a very challenging discussion, because it's not as easy and complicated to talk about it. Because you base your understanding on a lot of observation. Sometimes we have to do some studying and do some critical analysis of the data and the information. Most kids and young people grow up with that word all around. Parents use it. Friends use it. Grandparents use it. Some use it in, as Wazir Muhammad said, in a positive way. Some use it in a derogatory way. We've been calling ourselves different names and assigning ourselves different names, and people try to get away from them, each one of them. Richard Pryor tried to get away from that word. He did a show on it saying he went to Africa and he didn't see didn't hear nobody call each other that. And then there were other historians said there ain't no land called Negro or the N-word. But there are people getting paid millions of dollars to sing about it. You know, so they become the image. And sometimes when you criticize them, they say you're just jealous of the people that's singing about it. Dr. Francis Cress Welsing wrote an article, The MF and the Original MF. And she said those were political terms. And I'm also saying that that word may be a political term from the standpoint of the various ways it is used, as Brother Hembrick was saying, you know, amongst ourselves, and how it is emulated, or as Brother Wazir said, even in Africa, and because people watch and listen. And as long as we make movies using it, titling the movie that, you understand? And as long as that. Now, it's a problem for many people who see that as a major problem. They're embarrassed. They're embarrassed about the kids sagging. They're embarrassed about the women dressing certain ways. They're embarrassed about a lot of things. And sometimes when you around other races a lot, you try to be on your best behavior according to them. You know, so you talk like them, you enjoy what they enjoy. You may even go, and you know, it's like you twist your words, you pronounce your T's and dot your I's, and that's to get the job. But what you do when you get home is a whole new different thing. How you perform on the job. And I understand what Brother Kevin's talking about. So many people are embarrassed because they feel that there's a deprivation or degradation. And they're embarrassed when they see our youth or people out there saying things and acting a certain way. All people be embarrassed. You know, different ethnic groups are embarrassed. People are embarrassed when they see a black man with a white woman. People are embarrassed when they see a white woman with a black man. A black woman with a white man. I mean, we used to say that. We used to call each other colored, NAACP. You know, and then we say we're not colored. Then we say we're black. Then we say, no, we ain't black. We're African American. You know, I mean, it goes around and around and around, but it's like a Wazir and Joe say, it's about your performance and where your heart is. And yeah, I don't use the word. My kids didn't use the word from the standpoint in the house. But when they down there with their friends, I'm not there because I don't hang with kids. You know, but at the same time, you know, they may differ, but they didn't get it from the home. And I teach them, don't let the world change you. You change the world. And so, but there's no guarantee, you know. You know, you think your kids don't use drugs, and then you find out they've been using drugs and smoking weed. You say, damn, I taught you not to do that. And I can understand you saying that, you know, to some black people, it is embarrassing. To black people, it's a problem. But then there's some other black people, the masses, that's down there, the homeless, the people that are living in urban areas in the East Coast of the project, the street life, the lumping life. You're not gonna run into them, and you know it's. The embarrassment that they were put in that situation by oppression and racism. You know, and I understand, you know, you go to school, you learn English. They tried to say Ebonics was wrong when Ebonics wasn't about black people talking a certain way. It was about teaching them English as a second language. You know, it was saying that there were certain words that African retention of certain sounds, and then at the same time, you know, thinking of that. But most kids and most people emulate what is spoken and heard. It goes in the brain and it becomes a reflection. When I was coming up, I used the word all the time. You understand? At the gym. You understand? And then at the same time, you know, you have women and they use the word, the N-word. They call each other that. You know, I've seen women call each other that. Not itches with a B, but the N-word. Because it's in the air. It's everywhere. Like I said, they make songs about it. You know, what the women came up with that word, itches with attitude, the name of the group, H with attitudes, you know, and they just trying to make money. It's like what Brother Hembrick said. You know, there are people that get on comedians, Bernie Mac, LaVell, all of them use it. You know, the female comedians, they all use it. They make money doing it. I'm not saying it's an uphill or a challenging fight to try to get young people to learn interview skills and job skills and behavior skills that you feel they need to have. But they're black, they're people with so much good skill, people Brother Wazir was saying, hey, I just need your work. I don't care what you call. Well, I need a plumber. If you come in and you call your house and use the N-word, I ain't gonna say you fired. Fix my pipe. You know, you understand? And you know, you go by people's skills. Some people are self-employed. They don't go do interviews. They got their own business and it's challenging to say that we don't own anything. You saying Jay-Z don't own anything? You saying Oprah don't own anything? You saying the Williams sisters don't own anything? You saying, Michael Jackson? What was Neverland or whatever the land you was on? You know, I mean, you know, you have to look at the world, you know, differently. You can say terms that offend other people and they would challenge you and tell you to take it out. And if you're offended, I mean, you're trying to raise young people and mentor young people. And I understand you're trying to give them your vision of, hey, this is how you do it, and you don't want to embarrass your race, your parents, or anything. So you shouldn't use this word because it's, you know, it's a bad word. But there's a book by Richard Moore called The Origin of the Word Negro and Its Evil Uses. He does an in-depth definition. There's another book out about bad words. They talk about the etymology, where the word came from. And it's true, Spanish, the word negro means color of the dark. In other languages, it means that. And you know, we didn't come here saying that word on the ship in the beginning. It was something that we learned from Europeans. And every negative word that we've learned from MF to even black MF came from white folk. You understand? And we have to, I'm not saying that we shouldn't change it and correct it, but it is a global issue, as Brother Minister was saying, Brother Wazir was saying. It's a global issue. Gil Scott, even had, you put it in point. Hakeem Mahadibuti, you know, Sonia Sanchez. You know, you go back and you see it's something that you should raise to young people about them using it publicly and out when they're trying to get a job from white people. But there are a lot of black people unemployed. They're going to say what they want to say. Hey, I ain't working. How you going to fire me from a job I don't have? And how am I embarrassing you if I don't even know you? You understand? This is between me and the brothers on the corner playing domino, trying to kill Big Six, or trying to get a Boston 7-0 with no Trump. You know, it's just a fun thing. But as you say, it has some evil uses. You know, when you get mad, I'm going to kill that N. I'm going to kill that MF. You understand? That BMF. You get mad. You understand? But like you say, when you working and you middle class, or you up there around white folks and somebody come around you and using the N-word, it may be embarrassing to you. But to them, it's just a natural flow. But I appreciate the effort. And I hope that many of the young people that you mentor and that you talk and teach karate to learn the lessons you're teaching them about communications and things of this nature. But there are billions, the millions, the multi-millions of kids of all races. They use that word, and it's a big challenge to try and tell them what they're saying is wrong when their mom and daddy don't do it, when their big brother and uncle and nephews don't do it. You understand?
Right.
All right. I'm good, Rashiki.
Thanks, Professor Ra. Okay, I want to see if we can get with Kwabena one more time. Brother Kwabena, let's see if it'll work now.
Is it working now? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, try to get some words in, man.
I will, and I'll try to make it brief and succinct. I think it's the most disgusting, despicable, detestable word in the history of English or any other language, especially if you're in Africa. Especially if you're in Africa. My little brother that you talked to sometime, he asked this question. As we're in the midst of this fratricidal situations all around this country, he asked the question, when these Africans who get shot and get killed, what is the last word do you think they hear or are called? Is it their name? Is it brother? Is it man? Or is it that N-bomb being dropped on? And when we ask that question, most all the time, it's the N-bomb being dropped on. Bob Law talks about how in his music, the reason why the executive never calls that N-word, drop that N-bomb on them, is to assure them that they're not talking about sexually assaulting their daughters, that they're not talking about murdering their sons in this music. I think about DaBaby, the rapper DaBaby, who got real famous, even President Obama.
Keep breaking up.
Yeah.
He good too.
Yeah. Well, you know,
your mammy and grandma shop at. Huh? Y'all lost me?
Yeah, we did. We lost you for a minute.
Dang. Okay.
Let's try it one more time.
Okay. The baby said, "I'm gonna burn me an inn at the store where your mammy and your grandmama shop at." That was Barack Obama's one of his favorite songs, 2018, I think, and he went on a couple of years ago to have the number one song in the world about running up on N squeezing. You know, my daughter's a G. She saw me kill an N at the age of 2, and I kill another one. And so he's at a concert at one of those minstrel fests last year, and he slips up and says something bad about homosexuals. He said something bad. He just said it bad. All about he's rapping about killing N's. So This dude was so popular, he was playing this stuff 5 and 6 times an hour on the radio. Now you don't hear him anymore. They respected themselves. We are the only group of people in mass who refer to ourselves by a name given to us by our slave master. The only group of people. That word is just, I mean, and we know how to code switch. You know, we talk when we're at work, not just me, because every time I hear that word, I cringe. And I don't ever want to get to the point where I don't cringe when I hear it. I don't want to get to that point. That's one of the issues, one of our main issues as a people, and I think y'all would agree with this, is self-hate. The self-hate that Malcolm talked about 50 years ago in Los Angeles after the brothers was killed, the Nation of Islam members were killed. That's when he talked about the media and self-hate and what we think about ourselves. And who taught us to hate ourselves? And they're still teaching us that. Now, that word is, and we can go without it. We don't call ourselves colored anymore. We rarely call ourselves Negro anymore. that word can go away. But these Europeans who control this music industry and this entertainment industry, they don't want to go. They don't want it to go away. That's why you have a song by called "Cry Together" by our homeboy Kendrick Lamar. When we used to have a song called "Cry Together," when they had a relationship struggle, and at the end of the song, they making love. But his song "Cry Together," I asked y'all to watch that video. His song "Cry Together," they denigrating and demeaning each other, dropping N bombs and B bombs on each other. And at the end of the song, instead of making love, they effing. That's what they're doing at the end of that song. They effing. So,
wow.
So check out this song, "Cry Together." It's ridiculous.
Check out that song.
Oh, my cousin's in the ride with me, headed to the city. That word, man. That's again the most. I'll end on this. The most despicable, detestable, dangerous word in the history of English or any other language. We got to get it out of our vocabulary. And the thing is this, it's not that, you know, the words, we're not like the NAACP when they falsely talking about they're going to ban the word forever as they're awarding people on their image award shows to drop N-bombs on us. We know that the word's in history, it's in books. What we're saying is do not call yourself or call your people that. If you're not feeling good about them, use another word. We're creative people. We can call ourselves all kind of other derogatory and mean terms, but not that word. When we affectionate, how can you gonna be affectionate talking like that? We got to get away from that, man. Geronimo would tell me when they were locked up that when they dropped that N-bomb, when they locked up, they were disciplined. People would get disciplined, push-ups, whatever they'd have to do. And so when he got out, you know, we talking every once in a while, he dropped it. I know it's tough. He dropped it. I said, Uncle Jimmy. And so he's like, yeah. But then, so recently when I was in Ghana, I met this brother with Uncle G. We talked about this brother Coffrey. Coffrey's in LA now. And he called me recently and he said, look, this dude was locked up with Uncle G and I want you to talk to him. So I talked to him for a minute and I asked him about that. And he said, yep. He said he was right. We could not use that word when we were locked up. Otherwise, we have to do push-ups. We get disciplined. I'm like, right on. You know, I'll double check it on my uncle, which is a shame. But the brother cooperated that, man. We got to love each other, man. And that word is the two things that exemplify the self-hate that we see. The two things that exemplify so much our self-hate as the people is our propensity to drop that N-bomb on each other and the way our sisters do their hair. You know, the way our sisters do their hair in mass. We hate our hair and we hate ourselves dropping that N-bomb.
Okay, well, that was passionate. Okay, well, look, Kevin G.
I'm gonna close it out.
We're gonna end with you closing out, and we appreciate you bringing this topic to the surface because you, as you can see, you know, people have different outlooks, and these are people that's been in the struggle for years. So,
right.
Okay. So go ahead, Kevin G. Appreciate it.
This was a great discussion for me, and I'm a sponge, and I took in what a lot of the elders said as far as the perspective and where they're coming from, but I'm still going to stand on my guns, and I'm actually going to use this push-ups things for these kids in boxing. When I hear this word, hey, you're going to get some push-ups in, because I think we just... What I'm going to do, I don't know what everybody else is going to do, but I'm going to say what I'm going to do for the people that's inside my umbrella. I already don't use the word, and I'm going to continue to not use the word. If I see people, I'm going to say, hey, man, you know, you guys, we do have to, our image is kind of everything. People don't know you. So it's just like, oh, if you dressed a certain way or whatever, it's your first impression. And no matter what we say in the past, the first impression of that word and how it's being used, it's like, oh, there go the niggas or whatever. Yeah, they, like people say, oh, well, you work with these type of people. I grew up around all Black people when I was younger, moved to the suburbs, lived around different people, in the military around different people, you know, worked with different people, not just all white people. I don't switch up my wording when I'm around others. I'm still myself. I could still be myself without being a nigga. That's what I'm trying to say. And I think Black people in the future can still be ourselves without being niggas. We could be brothers. We could be sisters. Like the last person said, there's so many other things we could use instead of a word that, oh, well, the white man gave us this or whatever, but then we'll go punch the white man if he say it to us. It's like, that's so crazy to me. That's crazy to me. Like, why am I gonna, oh, I just said it to the homie, but then I'm gonna go punch the white dude for him saying it around, oh, I just heard him say it. He didn't even really say it to me. Most of us will go, if they heard it, they'll go punch them, but then, and that's, it's just, like I said earlier, if we don't have anything positive with the word, if we can't bring anything positive to the table, throw it in the garbage. We don't need it anymore. We could evolve to different things to call each other. And if you, I, the next man, could start in their own little, like we're all as Black people, links of a chain. So I'm trying to make my link as strong as possible under the umbrella that I have. So the umbrella that I have, we're not using that word no more. There's no positive that's coming with that word at all. It's all negative now. There, nobody's looking at it as a positive word. And I think that we need to, like the last person said, get that out of our vocabulary and start to move forward with how we address ourselves. Like, you know, we can't say, oh, well, this person's been around these people, or they're trying to change up for this group of people or whatever. No, we just be ourselves. Like, people ask me, oh, are you Hebrew Israelite? I got all these tats and Black Power stuff all over me. I'm not a Hebrew. I'm not none of that. I'm just a brother that's out here trying to make a difference for young people and make a difference for myself. And I think, like I said, if all of our chain links are a lot stronger, if it's better for you to say nigga or whatever to somebody, that's for you. But for our youth in the future, it's not going anywhere. If we really going to look at it seriously, and how we look at, because our future of how we represent ourselves, one person represents everybody else. That's how I look at it, because everybody's in this cultural war and we're so fractured. Oh, it's people, Black people, we want to do this, we want to do that. Even as far as business, I didn't mean that Black people don't own anything. Yeah, we aren't statistically, we own 2.3% of the businesses, but nothing in our house. You can't go point to hardly anything and be like, okay, this, some things you could, I'm not going to say nothing, but we don't, we're not manufacturing a lot of stuff. We're not, yeah, we have entertainers who are doing this, that, and the third, but as far as the normal Black people, we're not where we need to be. And I think how we address ourselves, like the title of the show, it has power. And I think using that word just has zero power. Don't look at me and say, I'm a strong nigga. Look at me and say, damn, that's a 6'1", 220 strong brother. That's how I want you to look at me. I don't want you to look at me like I'm some nigga. And that's all I'm saying. This was a great discussion with everybody. All you brothers are great. You know, it was good to have this dialogue with some people who really don't know me, so we could have a real honest discussion. And a lot of the perspectives were spot on, and I took it in like a sponge. And I'll try to more on my end, look at how maybe other people might look at the situation, because maybe it might come across as wrong. But in the long run, we do need to get our youth to stop using the word like that. They're not using it amongst just each other and stuff. And when I hear people use it with the kids that I'm working with, we hitting them push-ups. I like that idea, because we gonna start to get rid of that. And if it just takes the 10 little young guys that I'm dealing with, and they come out into the world as better young Black men, because at the end of the day, that's all I'm trying to do, brothers, is just make better Black people. And if we could do that as elders for our youth, then we could change the stigmas that a lot of us have that we might not even realize that are out there, but they're really out there. And the future is different than the past for us. So that's all I want to say. This was a good discussion. I thought I would only be on here 30 minutes, and it's almost an hour and a half. So this was pretty cool for me to kind of go back and forth with you guys. And it was nice meeting all you brothers.
Appreciate it, Kevin. This is a platform that you can come on, and we don't have set times. We just, we air it out. Everybody get their words in, and we come back the next week and we do it again. We don't stop. Now there's a young lady on here that I see that's with Brother Kwabena. I wanted to know if she had any, she wanted to add a little bit to the conversation before we leave. No? Brother Kwabena? Oh, she said no. Okay. So, all right, folks. I appreciate everybody. Damien McCalman, the guest, Kevin G., Brother Hembrick, Brother Mashinda, Brother Kavanaugh, Brother Wazir. And I know we had another sister on. Well, that was Sister Linda. And she was, I guess she wasn't able to stay. But appreciate everybody coming out. You know, we have, let me just tell you who we got next week. We got Brother Thomas coming back. And he's coming with an extension of what he was talking about. So next week, he's going to talk about abortion, the modern post-pregnancy prophylactic. So that's going to be interesting because he spoke briefly on it last time. So that's going to be interesting. Brother Thomas always come with some interesting information. And, you know, and we respond to it. So each one teach one conscious corner. Everybody have a good evening.